This morning, I'm going to be sharing about hearing God's voice and how we live by his voice. And I'm going to be sharing testimonies. That's the topic that I spoke on in Guatemala 2 weeks ago when I was there. And so I wanted to share some of the testimonies of what God did and ways that he spoke to students. So I also have a challenge for us from the Holy Spirit. The information I'm going to share is stuff you already know. So there won't be new understanding, but the testimonies will encourage you. And then I just want to challenge you in terms of how do we listen? How do we hear God's voice? And so that's kind of where we're headed. This is a picture of the 8 students and the 4 staff of this year's discipleship training school at the Guatemala City YWAM base. And what an amazing group of people they are. The staff are just amazing, and these students, some of them pretty new to the working of the Holy Spirit, and all of them were Christians, and some were newer Christians than others with limited knowledge of the Bible, and others were very knowledgeable of the Bible and full of really challenging, good questions. So we focused the whole week on hearing God's voice and understanding that God is a knowable God. We don't just know about him in our minds, but he's an experiential God. He's the one of whom the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We get to taste him, not just know him. We get to feel him. We get to know intimately of his goodness, and that he's not just, something that we know about, but he's called us into relationship with him. And part of that, a big part of that, is his voice. And scripture is full of promises about God's voice to us. And I just want to read 2 of them. One out of Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." The promises in there of God being available to us, that we can call to him and pray to him, that he's listening for us. His promise is that he will listen, that he will be found when we search for him, that he will restore us. He will bring us back, that we're not far off from him. And the second one I want to read is Jesus speaking in John chapter 10. This is where he's telling the parable of the good shepherd. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And so here again, you have that promise of him knowing our voice and us knowing his voice. And that being a guarantee of the possibility of a relationship with him that's eternal and that's powerful. No one is greater than the Father. And because we know his voice, we're safe in that relationship. No one can snatch us from the hand of the Father or of Jesus, because Jesus and the Father are one. God speaks to us, and we are made to hear his voice. When you think about God in just by himself, if you take us out of the equation, communication and relationship are part of God. It's intrinsic to who God is. God is not one, he's three. Within the relationship of the Trinity, there's evidence of God being a relational God, of God being a God that communicates, of God being dependent one onto another. The Father, that Jesus, and the Holy Spirit operate together. And so relationship and communication, even outside of us, is part of God. We're made in God's image. We're made for communication. We're made for relationship. And it's a guaranteed thing. I brought each of the students of the DTS a small shell as a symbol of hearing God's voice. You know, kids, and it was a small shell, it wasn't big enough to hold up to their ear, because I needed to get, 12 of them in my suitcase. with my week of stuff. But you know, when you, all of you as kids, if, and even as adults, you know, you get a large shell and you pick it up and you listen to hear that. And it's like the sound of the waves. And I've looked up, you know, what is it about it that makes the sound? You know, and there's different explanations about what happens to sound waves. You know, you can actually hold up a small box, cardboard box, to your ear and hear the ocean. Okay, but the point is, what do you have to do? Like, you're not wondering, like, I wonder if it'll work this time. Like, when a kid, you lift it up expecting to hear the sound. You might have to concentrate. You might have to make the room that you're standing in quiet, but you're sure you're going to hear it. And that's how it is when we listen for God's voice. It's going to be there. You've heard it before. You know that you can hear it. You don't look at the shell and wonder what's wrong with it. You listen. Maybe you need to focus. Maybe you need to not have yelling around you, but there's this expectation. And I think that's some of what, I know that some of what God did in the midst of the week in Guatemala, as we talked about his voice, is that he gave the students a confidence that they could hear his voice, that they were already hearing his voice. And I think this morning, even though we all know how to listen to God's voice, there's ways that he wants to give us greater confidence. And there's ways that he wants to restore our innocence, to be more childlike, where we're not wondering if we can hear him, but instead we have this anticipation, this expectation. How am I going to hear him differently? How is he going to speak to me in a new way, in a different way? We can practice listening for God's voice and being confident in how we respond, but the act of hearing his voice is part of who we are. It's not if, it's when we listen. We hear God because he's speaking and because we're made to hear him. And it's part of how we are made. It's part of the relationship between God and us. And so I want to look at a couple of reasons why. Why does God speak? One reason God speaks is to reveal himself to us. We see this in the scripture. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus spoke to her, interacted with her, and revealed himself to her. Or Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus. So he's up there in the tree, watching him walk by. But Jesus wasn't content with just being seen by Zacchaeus. He wanted to talk to him. He had something more than being witnessed in mind for this man. And the transformation that happened required the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, to be heard by this man. And Zacchaeus needed to talk to Jesus. And so there's another example of Jesus revealing himself through his voice. Or the disciples. Jesus spent all this time with the disciples, talking to them. And some of the things that the disciples heard, all the crowds heard as well. But then often, didn't Jesus pull away with the disciples and explain more about what he had said? He was revealing himself to them through his voice. One of the students in Guatemala, we did the exercise that many of you in this church have done in small groups or SOAR, different things that we've done, that exercise of where is Jesus in the room, that he's always present and we can listen to the Holy Spirit and ask questions. Where's Jesus right now? What's he doing? And I had given some examples of that, and we had all the questions in English and in Spanish, and the staff broke up the students into groups, and they went into different places in the base, into different rooms, and then did the exercise, listened to the Holy Spirit, asked, where is Jesus in the room? What is he doing? What is he holding? What's going on with that? And then they had time for each person in the room to share, and one of the staff led the group that I was in, and I just observed, and when it was this one girl's turn to share, she started sharing, and the translator looked really nervous, and she's kind of like looking at me oddly, and then she started translating what this woman was saying, and she shared that she thought that the exercise that we were doing was ridiculous, and that it's absolutely absurd to ask where Jesus is in the room that we were in. And she said she thought the questions were stupid. And she did it out of honor. She did it because she was asked to do it. And then she said what happened next was something that she's never experienced before. And because she said she saw as if someone had drawn a picture, or taken a picture and held it up in her mind. And she saw this picture of Jesus, where he was and what he was doing. And all of those questions, and she's like, I don't know how to describe what happened, but I asked all the questions and I knew I heard the answers. And it was Jesus revealing himself to her. And it was so personal. He was sitting in the chair with her. And she said, how can we both fit in the chair? And Jesus was like, because I'm in you and you're in me. And the point is that we're that close and we can share this chair. And she went on. And then at one point, as she's describing what she heard from Jesus, she looked around and she laughed and she said, I guess it didn't have anything to do with the rest of you. It was just for me. And I loved that. She's like, this was an incredible experience. And it was one of the first times that she'd heard Jesus, had him reveal himself to her. Another thing that Jesus, another reason why he speaks, he reveals himself to us, but he also will speak at times to reveal ourselves to us. He speaks identity to us. He reminds us of who we are in him. Jesus did this with the Apostle Peter in John chapter 21. I wanted to read just a few verses of this. This is Jesus after he's been crucified and raised from the dead. And they see Jesus a couple of times, and then Jesus speaks to Peter. Hold on, I'm getting there. John chapter 21. So they had been out on the disciples were fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus showed up. Remember, they hadn't caught any fish all night. Then they had a big catch. Jesus was like, let's have breakfast. And so they had fish and bread, and then and he breaks the bread, and he's reminding them of the Last Supper that they had shared before his crucifixion. And then he speaks directly to Peter in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him again, tend my lambs. Then he said a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he said, shepherd my sheep. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, so tend my sheep. How important was that conversation in the life of Peter? He was restoring him. And I just think of that communication. Peter needed to hear Jesus. He needed to hear his voice, and he also needed to hear his own voice. Peter knew that Jesus knew that Peter loved Jesus. But he was also the one who had denied him three times, and Jesus had predicted it. And Peter had said, no way, I would never. But then he did. And Peter needed to say, you know all things. You know that I love you. Because he knew he loved him, but he needed to be reminded, I think, that Jesus also knew that. He needed to be reestablished as one who loved Jesus. And Jesus spoke identity as he had that interaction with him. This is one of my favorite moments in the week in Guatemala. Was I had asked for people to be praying for me and for the students during that week. And so a few of those people, Phil and Lenora and Roslyn, they had been listening in advance of my going to Guatemala and gotten prophetic words for some of the students. And this one student had gotten a word from all three of them, from Phil, Lenora, and Roslyn. And so at one point during the week, I had printed those words out, and we'd translated them. And So we'd pass them out, and the students were broke up again into small groups, and they got these prophetic words from these people that they didn't know, you know, they would never meet. And they received the words, they were prayed over them. And then when we were back together as a whole class, I was asking, what was that like for you? And this one student especially, it was really powerful for him. And the words that were spoken over him were accurate, and they were, you know, they contained information that you couldn't, you know, that he's like, no one could know that except for God. And he did this thing. He had the words, like, they were printed up, and he put them, he held them on his forehead, and he said, these words were true. Some of these words are true. And he goes, others, I'm believing that they are true, even if I don't feel it. And he was holding the paper across his head, and he said, these are true about me. And then he went on to say that another part of the assignment was, after they received the words, then I wanted them to listen to the Holy Spirit and see if he would give them a word for any of those people. And so this particular student had gotten a word for Phil. And I thought I had said that this was my husband, but they said I didn't. And so when I came back in, he was like really nervous. This guy was nervous because he had gotten a really specific word about this man, Phil, as a father. And he's like, I don't know the age of this person. I don't know if he has kids. And he's like, but I wrote my word out. And I was like, yeah, he does have kids. And that was huge for him. That was like, and I didn't know the whole story until the last day of the GTS. And he shared, and this time he held this piece of paper that had Phil's prophetic word, and he held it up to his heart. And he shared that, because I got the prophetic word that he got for Phil. I had someone translate it. I emailed it to Phil. So Phil emailed back and said this is what it meant to him. And so that whole interaction for this young man, when he shared on the last day, he held the piece of paper on his heart and he said, you know, this word that was given over me spoke to my relationship with my father. His father, he never met his father. His father left before he was born. His mother abandoned him at birth. And he said that the word was about what God was doing in that part of his life as a father. And then the word that he got for Phil had to do with Phil as a dad. And when I read the Phil's response to the prophetic word and how it encouraged him as a dad, he said that in the midst of that transaction, that he felt like he'd received the approval and the affection of a father. And, you know, you hear that and you think, that's not, people can't do that. You know, it's not, there's not the relationship, there's not the foundation to, you know, the evidence and the natural to warrant that sort of thing happening, but it happened. And he's holding these, you know, this piece of paper on his heart, and he's like, I know that God loves me as a son. And somehow that happened. I think that's the Holy Spirit. That's how we hear him. He says, he tells us who he is to us in a way that only he can. And he tells us who we are. God also speaks to heal us. And there's so many examples of that in the scripture. I can't even pick a favorite. You know, all of us have those favorites in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, where the voice of God heals a physical body. And we experienced that in during this week as well. One was a testimony. This didn't happen during the week, but one of the students shared that she had struggled for years with bulimia, and she had cried out to God, and God had healed her. And she just became more and more confident over the course of the week of hearing God's voice, that she will be a voice of hope, a voice of healing in the lives of other men and women that struggle with eating disorders. And it was this beautiful calling of God in her life, hearing his voice and knowing that he was going to, it wasn't just that he healed her for her, but that she was going to be used by him to heal others. Another student shared the first night that I was there, I asked for just what they needed to, you know, if there were people that needed to be healed, what they needed to be healed of in the class, and we went around and prayed for people. And one of the students had chronic pain in her abdomen and in her legs. She said she knew the cause of it, but that it was too personal to share, which we was like, oh, that's fine. And we prayed, and the pain in her abdomen another thing that happens is that her legs and her feet are often numb. And when we prayed that night, the pain got a little bit better and there was a little bit less numbness, but it was all still there. And I checked in with her the next morning, and she said, you know, my legs aren't numb, just my feet. And so we were able to celebrate what God was doing, talked about that, and prayed for her again. And then the following morning, so 2 days after we had first prayed for her, I was asking her, did anyone have any dreams? You know, we were kind of doing our normal morning thing. And then she's like, I have something I need to share. And she shared that the night before, in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, she woke up from sleep because she'd heard someone call her name. And her first reaction was fear. And she laid there and she decided, because I am afraid, I'm going to get up and I'm going to find God. So she got up and she went out into this common kind of a front room, living room outside of where they were staying. And she heard her name again. And so she began to worship God. And she said she felt this heat on her ears and on her head. And she felt like something was running down her body and it pooled around her waist. And she just worshiped God. And she was just describing this amazing encounter with God. And he healed her that night. As she shared the next morning, she said, I have no pain in my abdomen, and my legs are not numb. My feet are not numb. I feel fantastic. That night we checked in with her again. How are you doing? She's like, I can go upstairs. It feels different to go up and downstairs to run because I have no numbness anywhere in my body. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And it was just the Holy Spirit waking her up at night and encountering her. It was just her and him. And she's transformed. He speaks to heal us. Another reason that Jesus speaks is that he restores us. I think of the woman caught in adultery in John 8, where there wasn't a physical thing she needed to be healed of, but she needed to be restored herself, but also in her community she needed to be restored, and Jesus did that. Or the woman in Mark 5 who had been bleeding, how Jesus' encounter with her in the midst of the crowd restored her physically, but also socially. If we look at the stigma that was attached to her condition and what he did for her in restoration, you think of the Apostle Paul and his life before he encountered Jesus and how God restored to him and restored the purpose of his life. And then you can go to that next picture, Lenora. This is a picture of another thing that happened in the room when we did that exercise, where is Jesus in the room? And the woman kneeling is one of the staff of the DTS. And when she asked Jesus, or listened to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, you know, what is Jesus doing in the room? Where is he? She saw him washing this young woman's feet. And so she asked if she'd ever had that experience, and she hadn't. And so the staff said, I want to wash your feet and give you the word that I felt like the Holy Spirit was giving me for you. And so it was a powerful word of God restoring, again, a very early intimate thing of having to do with her life. And she was born in Guatemala and was adopted because she was abandoned by her parents. And she was adopted by a family in the U.S. And so here she was back in Guatemala, and God was giving her a word about his love being with her from those first days of her life, and just doing a powerful work in her heart. And there's another testimony that I won't go into the details of it, but one of the staff had a really scary, just a real traumatic thing happened. She was with a group of people in Belize several years ago, and they were ambushed and beaten, and she has her knees are just destroyed as a result of this, and so she lives with a lot of pain. And she'd shared that when we were contending for physical healing. And throughout the week, as I was able, over meals and in separate times, you know, these staff, they give so much of their time to students, and there's not a lot of just feels like a real critical time. As a couple of years ago when I went with Ken to Antigua and did the DTS, that was one of the things that he really encouraged us to do, was to sow into the staff. And with this woman, I saw the importance of that, because there wasn't just the result from that trauma to her knees, but also the experience was really traumatizing, and there was a lot of healing that she wasn't aware of that could take place. And so she was contending for physical healing. She still is. But over the course of a few conversations and prayer times kind of like sozo prayer times, I was able to, we were just able to see God work powerfully in the area of opening up the truth that he's going to set her free from the trauma that she experienced too, and from fear, and that he's going to heal her heart. And he just spoke to her words of what she's worth. And part of her testimony is that there were things that could have happened to her that didn't. And it was because in the midst of this attack, these three women were met, the guys that were with them had gone to get help. And there were four men attacking these women. And this woman who was on staff with that I met, she began to praise and worship God in the midst of the threats that were coming against her. And she didn't see it, but there was some kind of physical manifestation of the presence of God, enough so that these men were terrified. And they went from attacking her to standing across from her, and they told her, "Don't you come after us. We're going to go this way." And they gave her a plan. "We're going this way, and you and whoever, whatever that is behind you, had better go that way or we will shoot you." And that's how what could have, you know, that it didn't go farther than it did, because God showed up. And so that, it was an amazing ending to the story, an incredible testimony. But there was also what happened before that. And she hadn't realized how much God would heal her, not just from what didn't happen, the fear of what could have happened but didn't, but also what did happen. And that it wasn't just her knees that he's going to heal. He's going to heal her heart. He's going to set her free from fear. She's not going to be afraid anymore when someone makes a sudden movement from the side. You know, things where she copes with incredible levels of fear all the time. And he's going to restore all of that. He's going to redeem it. And she's hungry in a way that she didn't know she could be. And so there's so much in terms of restoration, I think, that God can speak to us and lead us in. Another reason that God speaks is that he leads us. He shows us what to do in our lives. And oftentimes we think of God leading us in terms of mission, like what we're supposed to do when we're faced with a decision or a change or various options. We go to God and we look for his voice. We listen for his voice as to what to do. And I think of Jonah, how he was sent to Nineveh. Somehow he heard God's voice to go. Similarly, Philip heard God's voice say, go to the road that leads to Gaza, right, in Acts 8. So Noah heard God's direction. He didn't go exactly, did he, right? He was like, I'll go the opposite way. But then there was God's faithfulness to lead him in mission, in his destiny, even when he refused. Philip, in Acts 8, God said, go south to the Gaza road. He went there. And then God gave him the next direction. You know, and you see, interacted with the Ethiopian eunuch, and there's this amazing thing. God will be faithful to lead us in his plans for us, even if we screw up. That's good news. To me, that's good news. And so he speaks to us to lead us, and it's not just in what we need to go, and what we need to do. He also leads us in our own development into places in our heart. And that's a testimony I had wanted to share. Another one of the staff, just the month before we were there, she had been robbed and chased by some guys with guns right near the base. There's a park. This is a picture looking out of the classroom window, which is on the third story of the YWAM base house, into this park that's next door. And the group of students there, that was on the last day, they were down there praying and talking with each other, and I took a picture of them out the window. But this one staff, she was on her way back to the base one afternoon and was confronted by these guys. And so she was just living in a lot of fear because of that encounter, obviously. And so at one point the students were doing an exercise of listening to God, and we were standing near this window. And I was asking her, oh, because we had done a prayer walk, and I was in her group, and we left the base, and she took us immediately to the park, and we did a prayer walk in the park. And I was, like, just impressed by her courage. Like, she has a lot of fear, and some of it's associated with the park because of what happened there. And yet when we did this prayer walk, that's where she took the group of students that she was in charge of, was to the park to do a prayer walk there. And so as we were standing later that day by the window, I was telling her, like, how I just admired her courage for facing her fear, even the place that it happened. And as I was talking to her, she pointed out a guy in the park, and she said, that's one of them right there. And it was just intense. And we stood there, and she asked me to pray for her. And then she asked me to pray for him. And it was an intense moment of courage. And then she began to pray for him. And she told me that she thinks of what she would say to him if she would talk to him, and that she would want him to know God's love, and that God's a God of love and a God of favor and a God of provision and a God of power and a God of love. And she began to pray for this man as we looked out the window. And he looked up and acknowledged that he saw her looking at him. And it's just courageous. And somehow I think that's also how God leads us, is he leads us to our own healing, his voice. That's not out of her. That's not a natural response to pray for him, to want to talk with him. I believe she'll do it because she's listening to God's voice. And he's after her healing, but he's also after this bold, courageous woman who speaks and witnesses the love of God, no matter who it is, no matter the cost. He leads us into who we're becoming. He matures us. And so much of that is listening to his voice. And there's lots of different ways that God speaks. I'm going to just skip ahead. It was amazing we talked about lots of ways how God speaks through people. You can go to the next picture. This is the students listened for words, for the prophetic words for their staff, and prayed them over them. It was powerful. We listened for God through dreams, just prayed that the students would have dreams in the night and share them, and we're able to interpret some of those dreams. And then you can go to the next picture. I shared about this last Sunday that at the end of the DTS, we did the overflow, that prophetic act that some of us did here in church that one Sunday in April, I think. And it was powerful for them. The picture of the guy right there with holding his hands out, he's the student I told you about where he just shared how he felt God's, the heat on his hands. He felt like the water was hot, and it traveled up his arms and into his chest, and he felt like God was showing him that all of the knowledge, all of the understanding in his mind about God was being transferred into his heart, and that was true, that he was going to experience and feel God, that he wasn't just going to know about him. And so there's lots of other ways that God speaks, obviously through that, his prophetic voice, you know, the still small voice of his spirit, through scripture, through worship, through teachers. But I want you to think of, for you, in what way does God most often speak to you? Think of the purpose of what do you most often hear his voice? Do you mostly go to him for directions or for questions, for help when you don't know what to do? God is always speaking. One thing that an analogy or a picture that Pastor Ken has used that I always think of is that it's like the sound waves. If you have a radio, you know, the radio could be off, but as soon as you turn it on, as soon as you tune it in, there's sound to be heard. And did those sound waves exist? Were they on? Were they hearable before you turned on the radio? Or when you turn it on and it's staticky, is that because the sound waves aren't good, or is it because the radio isn't tuned in? God's always speaking. The sound of heaven is always being released over the earth.
The prayers of Jesus are always being said. They're always before the throne of God for you. The sound is there. Are we listening? Are we tuned in? Is there static? What do we do? How can we become more practiced at listening? Do you listen to God when you need help or when you need answers? Do you ever listen for his voice, for his affirmation, or for love? When you don't need to know something, do you listen for his voice? Do you ask him what's on his mind? Or is your time with God based on your agenda? Here's another kernel of wisdom from my friend Ken. This is a good question to ask the Holy Spirit. What's on your mind that's not on mine? Like, what's on your radar that I haven't been thinking of? You got to ask Jesus that every once in a while. Or ask the Holy Spirit, what are you excited about lately? When I'm discouraged, that's what I do. Sometimes it's within the same subject and sometimes not. If I'm discouraged in the midst of parenting, I'll ask the Holy Spirit, what's happening in my family that I don't know about? That's good. Or what are you excited about this kid? And then, the discouragement just goes away because you start to hear the excitement of heaven. But sometimes you can just ask, if you're having a hard time praying, ask the Holy Spirit to start talking to you about something that God is happy about. And then start praying, start interceding for that. Oftentimes for me, it's a nation. I ask God, what are you excited about? And I start praying for a nation. Sometimes I don't know where it is. I have to go look it up. But it's a good cure for difficult prayer time. And after you've prayed for something that you could feel like it has nothing to do with you, then you start to pray about something you want to hear God about, and it's easier to hear him because you've been listening for something outside of yourself for a while. So pay attention to what is the purpose of God's voice in your life most often? And is there a purpose that you don't pursue? And then how do you hear God? God's, he's always speaking, but sometimes it feels like a whisper. Sometimes it feels like a shout. But is he always speaking? Are we always listening? How do you most easily hear God? Is it through scripture study? Through other people? Is it that still small voice? Does he speak to you through dreams? Or through nature, circumstances, prophetic words? Remember that Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes we want God's voice to us to be like a huge beacon of light, like a massive, powerful, spotlight that'll shine and we'll see 5 years from today. And often it's like a little lamp that you carry. He's going to speak to you about the step that you're on right now. And he's going to speak to you about that next step. And as you take it, it becomes illuminated by his word, right? Sometimes it's not the 5-year plan. I still have not heard that. But do you rely on it and listen for his voice? Sometimes it's not going to be, he's not going to speak to you for the week or for the month. You're going to hear his voice for today. Because he wants to hear your voice, asking for his voice tomorrow and in the next minute or the next hour. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God's voice to us is a gift, and we have to believe what he says and believe that when we come to him, we don't have reason to be afraid. That what he'll speak to us is good, that he's a rewarder, that his words will hold power for us. And then I'll just close with this scripture, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask of him? Jesus wants us to come to him. He's on his way to us as well. I love that idea of Jesus running like with the prodigal son. The father ran to the son. He didn't just wait. He ran toward him. And so there's this momentum as you pursue God. Do you picture him pursuing you as well? And that process of hearing his voice is like a collision. There's momentum on both sides. God's pursuing you because he has something for you and it's good. He has a good gift for you and he wants to give it to you. And so I want to challenge us to have hope and to grow, that we would, I felt like the Holy Spirit, as I was praying for today, was saying, evict contentment and complacency. Evict those things. Like, we're kicking them out. We're not going to be content with the ways that we've heard God's voice in the past. We're not going to be complacent, that we're asking him to speak to us in new ways, to speak to us about new things, and that our decision can be to listen in new ways. I haven't thought about that before. What if God could speak in different ways? What if there's new ways that we can learn how to listen? Will he give you a new way to listen? And so I just want to encourage you to get your hopes up, to expect something new. And so will you stand with me? I just want to release expectancy and hope over us. Jesus, thank you for your voice to us. Thank you that it's a gift. Thank you that we hear you. We can be confident and unafraid to listen for your voice because it's always good. And I just pray that you would release on us now a childlike faith, childlikeness that knows that you as our Father are always speaking for our benefit, that there would be no fear, no condemnation or shame. I pray that you would release fresh hope in our midst. We would get our hopes up for hearing you differently today, this week, this month, that we would learn to listen in a new way. I pray that those that don't have dreams or can't remember their dreams would begin to dream dreams of encountering you, that you would speak to them in their dreams and they would remember them. For those that scripture study is difficult, God, I pray that you would wake their heart up in the morning to your word. Would you put scripture in their minds, in their ears, on their heart, God? Would you speak to us in new ways? We thank you for that still small voice, that your voice isn't always like thunder or lightning, that it doesn't always shake the earth, but that we can hear your still small voice as it communicates to us about where we are and where you are, and where you're taking us. Thank you, Jesus, for the things that you've done and the things that you're preparing to do. Thank you for your promises over us. Thank you for your great faithfulness, that you're the one who's made the promises and you have the power to keep them. You have the power to make them true in us, even when we mess up. Thank you for your promise over Jonah as you sent him. Yeah. Thank you for your great love. And pray for your blessing on us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.